A new series called Types, Tactics, and Teaching on Psychopaths. Types, Tactics, and Teaching on Psychopaths. And you might say, Brother Stuckey, why are you preaching a sermon like this? Well, quite honestly, this is something that appears a lot in the Bible. This is something that's very comprehensive in the Bible. It's mentioned pretty much in every book. You'll see an example of this. And quite honestly, it's something in our society that we need to be aware of. And even more so within like-minded churches and people that listen to a lot of sermons online, I think a lot of people are very confused and they don't really have a full grasp of what the Bible teaches on this. This sermon series is going to surprise you because it's really not a pounding the pulpit sort of sermon series. It's more of an instructional sermon series so you have a deeper understanding of the Bible. I think it's going to help everybody in this room learn quite a bit. Now, first, for starters, when it comes to this topic, this is just an introduction, but firstly, Jesus died for every single person.
Amen.
Jesus died for everybody. Notice what it says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. When it says he will have all men to be saved, what it's saying is that's the desire of God. It is God's desire that people get saved and learn the truth that's only found in Jesus Christ and go to heaven. He wants everybody to be saved. There's a foolish doctrine out there called Calvinism, right, that would teach that God wants some people to burn in hell. What kind of a God are you serving that would want to see people burn in hell forever? That's ridiculous. God wants everybody to be saved, and that's what it says here. Who will have all men to be saved.
Right.
You say, well, how do you know all means all? Because that's what the word means in the English language.
Amen.
That's what it's saying. He wants everybody to be saved. Okay? Verse 5, for there's one God and one mediator, not mediatrix.
Right.
One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So you only have to read three verses to open up when these are so packed with information. Right? Verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. There's no doubt throughout the Bible, you could point to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses that say Jesus died for everybody and that God wants everybody to be saved, and he's a ransom for all, every single person. Turn to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. Now, when I said the word psychopath, I want you to realize that's not really a Bible word, but there's a word that means basically the same thing called reprobate. And we're going to look at that word later on. But see, what the world calls a psychopath, the Bible would call a reprobate. And when we're talking about a psychopath, we're talking about someone who has no conscience. Okay, we'll look at that later on. The Bible speaks about that. But this is something the Bible actually refers to. People that are, you know, beyond hope. They're not going to change. And so the world calls them psychopath. The Bible would call them a reprobate, okay? And we have a documentary we'd love to have you watch sometime. Our church in Sacramento put on called Psychopath Reprobates, and it's very instructional. It's very interesting, and that's what we're talking about here today. But I want you to understand, not only did Jesus die for every single person, but Jesus Christ died for every single sin as well, of every single person. Notice what it says in 1 John 2, verse 2. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And the Bible says Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. This is a verse that if you've heard me preach the gospel, I pretty much always use this verse to express that Jesus died for everybody. And when it says the sins of the world, that means whether or not it's a Muslim country, whether or not it's a Buddhist country, whether or not it's a Catholic country or a Hindu country, it says he died for the sins of the whole world. But it doesn't just mean he died in every single country. It also means he died for big sins. Isang malalaking kasalanan, or a small sin. So whether it's a sin like pagpatay or pagpapakamatay, murder or suicide, or whether it's a small sin like telling a lie, the Bible says that Jesus died for all sins. Okay? He died for the sins of the whole world. And look, in the Bible, there are saved people that commit murder, and he died for their sins, and there's people that become reprobates that commit murder, and they enjoy that, and Jesus died for those sins as well. He died for the sins of the whole world. Past, present, future, big and small. Now look, there are people, and we're going to talk about this, that are beyond hope, and they will never be saved. They'll never believe on Jesus Christ, and they will go and die and pay for all of their sins in hell. That doesn't mean that Jesus didn't die and pay for their sins, though, because Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Okay? Now turn in your Bible to John 3. John 3. Turn your Bible to John 3. So pretty basic point. Jesus died for everybody, and he died for all of their sins. Jesus died for everybody, he died for all of their sins. And I want you to realize, there are people, though, that can become what we would call a reprobate in the Bible, or a psychopath, as the world would put it, okay? Now, I want you to notice in John chapter 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son, John 3, verse 36, the last verse in John chapter 3, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on. When a person dies unsaved, God's wrath abides on them forever. There's no second chance, right? Walang pangalawang pagkakataon. No second chance, okay? There's no purgatory in the Bible.
Right.
The Bible says, I mean, look, you are physically alive or dead.
Right.
You are spiritually alive or dead. There's not this in-between stage, like purgatory would say. You're either alive or dead forever. That's what the Bible teaches. And so I want you to realize that when somebody dies unsaved, they have no hope of going to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
If somebody dies unsaved, and look, I feel sorry for your relative that died that was a hardcore Catholic. They are in hell forever, though.
Right. Right.
And look, I've had relatives that died unsaved. They're in hell forever. We can do nothing to get them to heaven. You have your chance here on earth to get them saved. And when somebody dies unsaved, they have no hope of going to heaven. But somebody can be a walking dead man. You say, what are you talking about? Someone can still be physically alive, but they are already guaranteed they're going to go to hell forever. They are spiritually going to be dead forever. You say, why? Well, why do people go to hell? Because they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people the Bible teaches will never believe on Jesus. It's too late for them. They've gone past that point. We're going to see why in the sermon series, but this is throughout the book of John. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Now remember, in the first point we said Jesus died for everybody. We're not Calvinists. We don't, you know, say anything nice about John Calvin. But I want you to realize that if you reject what I'm saying here today and you say, well, I don't believe that some people can't believe, well, then you must be a Calvinist. There's no way that you can get around it because there are people the Bible says cannot believe.
Right.
So either you believe in Calvinism, that God wants people to burn in hell and he's choosing who goes to heaven and hell, or you're going to believe what the Bible says, that people can be a walking dead man, okay? That they're past the point where they could believe on Jesus. John 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Cannot. What does that mean? It is impossible for you to hear my word. That's what he's saying. Ye cannot hear my word. Okay? He doesn't say, well, you're choosing not. No, he says, you cannot hear my word. Verse 44 makes it very clear. Ye are of your father, the devil. Now look, when you believe on Jesus Christ, what takes place? You become a child of God.
Amen.
For how long? Forever. Your father is always going to be your father. My son Zephaniah will always be my son. If he grows up one day and he says, I hate you, Dad, I'm running away from home, and he just breaks the windows in our house, is he still my son?
Yes.
Nothing can change that. You can't be born in and out of a family. See, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible gives you buhay na walang hanggan.
Right.
It's forever.
Amen.
You can never lose that because impierno is ikalawang kamatayan. Okay? But I want you to understand that if somebody becomes a child of the devil, because Jesus is not just using poetic language, you're of your father the devil. No, he's saying literally, you're of your father the devil. It means they spiritually become a child of the devil. They're going to be a child of the devil forever.
Right.
You have to understand. Now, we understand that if a baby dies, then they go to heaven. If my son dies, he will go to heaven because he's too young to understand what we're talking about, right? We serve a loving God. But I want you to understand with it, when you reach an age of understanding, there are not two types of people in this world. There are three types of people. There are children of God. There are children of the devil. And then there's the vast majority of people, which are just your ordinary unsaved person. Most people in this world are not saved, but they're not evil people. Very few people are saved. A small percentage. The same way on the other side, there's a small percentage of people that the world calls psychopaths and the Bible calls reprobate, that basically their mind is permanently defiled and they do not have an ability to believe on Jesus Christ. That's what it says in John 8. It says, ye cannot hear my word. The reason why, ye are of your father, the devil. Okay, this is a very small percentage of people, but there are people like this. Now turn to John 12. John 12. And look, I don't have time to go through all the verses that talk about this. We're going to go through a lot today, though. But there are a lot of verses that teach there are people that are children of the devil, and they have no hope of believing on Jesus. Look, my son will always be my son, and it doesn't matter if he doesn't want to be my son. Nothing changes that. And if somebody becomes a child of the devil will always be their father. That's what the Bible teaches. John chapter 12. John 12. Notice what it says in verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 38. And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. It doesn't say they didn't believe. It says they could not. That means it is impossible for them to believe. They could not believe. That's what the Bible teaches. And there are a small segment of people that cannot believe because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted and I should heal them. And what you have to understand is there's a small segment of people that have turned their back on God so much and rejected God, and eventually it reaches a point where God says, I'm now rejecting you. And they no longer have the capacity to believe on Jesus. Now, if they did believe on Jesus, all their sins would be forgiven, but it is impossible for them to believe.
Right.
This is a very small percentage of people, but I want you to understand something, and this will kind of help you understand the difference if this is new to you. There are certain sins that people commit that are just bizarre, wicked, disgusting things that a normal person would not find any enjoyment in.
Right.
You think of Jeffrey Dahmer, the most famous serial killer in American history. And look, I'm not trying to be too graphic, but I do need to explain a little bit so you understand this topic. You know, Jeffrey Dahmer was a homosexual, and what he would do is he would meet other homosexuals at a gay club, and he would lure them back into his place. He would basically drug them, and then he would kill them. And he had kept parts of their body around his house, okay? When they found him, they were shocked at the crime scene because he had kept... I mean, I don't want to go into too much detail, but it's like this: who in the world would do something like that?
Right.
It's absolutely disgusting, the things that he did. And you say, what could make someone have that sort of desire? I would never desire something like that. You're right. You would never desire something like that. And God did not create them like that, but they became that. They rejected God, and eventually God said, you know what? I'm done with you. And this is not a large percentage of people, but there is a segment of this population that don't think like a normal person. Their mind is permanently altered. There's a lot of verses, but I want you to understand, we believe in every word the Bible says.
Amen.
We believe the parts that are friendly. We believe the parts that are a little bit rough to take in. And the reality is that when you're in a real church that preaches the truth, there are going to be new topics that you learn about.
Right.
And you have to change your mind about them. And when you first hear them, you might say, I don't like that. I've heard so many sermons that say something different. The Bible's a final authority. And I encourage everyone to go home and look at these verses and decide for yourself what you believe. Because you, as a saved person, you have the Spirit of God to teach you.
Amen.
So believe what the Bible says. This is what it says in John 12. Now turn in your Bible. Actually, turn to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. We'll look at a few more places. 2 Timothy 3 before we kind of get into more of the meat of this sermon. 2 Timothy 3. And I want you to see what it says in verse 7. Verse 7. Now, I want you to realize that when we're talking about a psychopath or reprobate, a saved person could never become that. It is impossible because you're a child of God forever, which means you're never going to be a child of the devil. You're spiritually a child of God forever. But some people that never believe on Jesus, a small percentage of them do become children of the devil, and they do these wicked, disgusting acts. You think of people that would rape a child. What kind of a person has a desire to molest a child? No normal person.
Right.
You say, Brother Stuckey, I can't even imagine doing that. I would never do that. Why would you want to do that? It's disgusting. Right. That's what a normal person thinks like.
Right.
What am I saying? I'm saying the Catholic priests aren't normal.
Right.
Why would they want to do something like that? What, I mean, what in the world? Why? Because their mind and conscience is defiled. They're a child of devil. That's why they would do something so disgusting. 2 Timothy 3:7, you say, how does this occur? It occurs by rejecting God. 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Look, there are people that if they sat in this church for 30 years, it would be impossible for them to ever come under the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. They could see things in the Bible and hear sermons, but they just don't have the capability of coming to that knowledge. You say, why? Because eventually with some people, even before they die, with a small percentage of people, they reach a point where they rejected God for so long, and God says, you know what? I'm done with you now. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, Jannes and Jambres are examples of what the Bible's talking about, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. That word reprobate is basically a psychopath. That's what the Bible's saying. That's the word that the Bible would use, is reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And so the Bible speaks about a small segment of people whose minds and consciences are defiled, and they will never believe on Jesus Christ. Turn to Romans 1. Turn to Romans 1. Now look, we preach sermon series like the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But we preach the entire part of the Bible. Whether or not it's parts that people do like or don't like, the entire Bible needs to be preached. And quite honestly, this is a topic that most people don't really have never heard of it before. It's completely new to them. And even people that have heard of it, you know, generally I think people kind of hear a sermon here or there and it kind of just covers some of the major things. In this sermon series, we're going to go really in-depth because I think people are going to have a much better understanding of this topic when we're done. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And the entire world is without excuse if they don't believe on Jesus Christ. Right. The Bible says based on the things he's made, we can have an understanding of him. You still must hear the gospel and believe on Jesus. But for anyone to reject God, it's ridiculous. In Case on Memorial Circle yesterday, I talked to two young people, and they said they weren't sure if there was a God. And they listened to me give the gospel, and then I talked to them a little bit about the Big Bang Theory and evolution. And it's just like, the Big Bang Theory is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. And I've never believed in the Big Bang Theory. I always thought it was like the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And I asked him, I mean, just a few basic things of logic. I said, let me ask you a question. What is, because I was talking to him about hell, and I said, where is hell located? He said, the center of the earth. I said, what's the temperature of the center of the earth? He said, it's really hot. And I asked him a question. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Let's say you put a baked potato in the oven, and you cooked it, and then you turned it off 20 minutes later. Wouldn't it be kind of cold? He's like, yeah. And I said, well, why is it that the earth is 4.5 billion years old, and it's still really hot in the middle of the earth? That doesn't logically make any sense to me. And I know they'll come up with crazy excuses, but it doesn't make any logical sense because things cool off after 4.5 billion years old. It wouldn't make sense the center of the earth is still ma'init, na'ma'init, 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 right? That doesn't make any sense. Look, the Big Bang Theory is absolute foolishness. And I said, even if you believe this, you still have to get back to the creation of everything. Where did the matter come from to create the Big Bang? Because I'm telling you, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Amen. Right.
And look, I'm not trying to get into apologetics. I just talked to him briefly about this, but it's ridiculous for you to reject God. And you can look outside, and if you're going to look outside and tell me there's no God, then you're just a fool. Right. You say, Brother Stucky, that's harsh. No, actually, the Bible says in Psalms 14, you are a fool if you don't believe in him. Because it's obvious there's a God. That's what it speaks about here in Romans 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. In verse 21, it speaks about people that knew things about God, but they didn't glorify him as God, and they weren't thankful. Look, there's people in this world, it's not that they don't believe in God, because they see God's will, they know it, but then when they see the rules of the Bible, they don't like the God of this Bible.
Yep.
That's the reality. That's why people go down this road of rejecting the God of the Bible and hating the God of the Bible.
Right.
And they see things in the Bible that they don't like. They hear sermons and that's not very nice. And they don't like the God of the Bible. Logically, it's undeniable God's real, but they're foolish people, and their mind, their heart is darkened, and they can go down a road where basically they hate God, and eventually God can reach a point where he says, you know what? I'm done with you. I've given you years and years, and you're blaspheming my name, and you've heard the gospel, you're rejecting it, you're mocking soul winners. And look, you know, people can go down that road and reach a point where they become a psychopath or a reprobate, okay? Notice what it says in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up. So God says, I'm done with you. God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God's saying, you know what? You want to live a filthy, wicked lifestyle and commit these terrible sins because you know I'm against it? Then you know what? I'm done with you.
Right.
People can reach that point. He gave them up, it says in verse 24, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. So God gives them up unto vile or disgusting things. Okay, disgusting, nakakadiri, things that are really disgusting and gross. Okay, and you say, what is the Bible referring to here in verse 26? What is so gross and disgusting that God would talk about this? Well, notice what it says, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. What does that mean that the women changed the natural use into that which is against nature? Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. It's referring to homosexuals.
Right.
It's referring to sodomites. And the Bible's saying, hey, it's really gross that you're leaving the natural use of the woman, and now guys are interested in guys.
Right.
And girls are interested in girls. And look, if you see Vice Gonda on TV and you think that's normal, I mean, what in the world?
Right.
That is disgusting.
Right.
And let me tell you something. People need to understand the difference between the words common and normal. And I'm preaching a sermon. I just wrote a sermon on this, common versus normal. Because just because something is common, that doesn't mean it's normal.
Right.
Yes, it's very common. I get it. Every TV show in the Philippines, there's some guy dressed as a woman. That's not normal.
Right.
I don't care if every single show has that on. It's not normal. I don't care if half your class are guys dressed as women. That's not normal.
Right.
That's weird. That's disgusting.
Right.
And let me tell you something. For most of human history, people believe that and agree with that. But in today's world, with the advent of the internet and cell phones and the TV, all of a sudden, doesn't seem so weird to people. Because they see it all the time on TV and they say, wow, you know, that's actually not that strange.
Right.
Well, I'm sorry, but that's always going to be strange.
Yeah.
And the Bible says it's weird, it's unnatural. And what the Bible's referring to is something that's not a natural desire. See, here's what I'm saying today. There are certain people that have desires that are not natural and they're not normal.
Yeah.
You say, Brother Stuckey, I don't have any desire like that, because you're a normal person. Even the vast majority of people that are unsaved, they don't think this way.
Right.
They don't have these weird, disgusting thoughts.
Yeah.
Even you say, Brother Stuckey, before I was saved, I never thought like this. Yeah, because you were never a child of the devil.
Right.
You never had rejected God and become a reprobate. You may not have believed, but that doesn't mean you're a reprobate. Most people that aren't saved are not reprobates, but there's a small percentage of people, and they take enjoyment in this. Look, this is disgusting. It's not normal, and the Bible speaks about this. And it says in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate or psychopath mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, Romans chapter 1 is referring to sodomites or homosexuals. But I want you to understand something, and this is why I think there's a lot of confusion, because I would say that yes, all homosexuals are reprobates. That's what you see in Romans 1, that people that go down this road, they're going into unnatural desires. This is not normal. Here's what I'm not saying. I am not saying all reprobates are homosexuals.
Right.
I'm not saying that. And this is a very, very important distinction. We're going to go in great detail about this sermon series. But there are people that are walking dead men that are not homosexuals. They've rejected God. Romans 1 is one example of someone basically going down this road. And this is the most disgusting road. The most decrepit and wicked, they go down that path. But somebody can become a reprobate and they don't necessarily go down that path the whole way. Okay? And we're going to prove that in this sermon series. But I want you to understand that yes, every homosexual is a reprobate. They're past the hope of believing on Jesus. Not every reprobate is a homosexual, though.
Right.
In fact, I would say, at least through most of human history, the vast majority of reprobates were not homosexuals. And we're going to see this in the Bible, okay? This is an important distinction for us to understand. We need to really understand this topic. But I want you to understand the mark of someone being a reprobate is that they have no conscience, okay? And people can reach a point where they have no conscience. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're fulfilling their disgusting desires through the homosexual lifestyle. They might be doing it some other method, okay? Romans chapter 1, verse 29, it says being filled, okay? This is very important where it says being filled, being filled. I want you to understand that it's going to go through a list of various different things like being covetous, being full of envy. And you say, Brother Stuckey, from time to time, I'm covetous. I understand. From time to time, I am too. From time to time, I'm envious. But this is saying being filled with these things. Yes, we all commit various sins, but the Bible's speaking about people that their mind is 100% fully set on being a bad, wicked, evil person. That's what it's referring to here. And so that's what we see here in verse number 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. And look, when you look at these things, all of these things that I went through are things that a believer could do, or in just a normal unbeliever, but they're not filled with these things. That's the distinction, okay? Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. And the Bible speaks about haters of God. Now, I want you to understand that before I was saved, I did not hate God. It's pretty weird to say you hate God. Very few people hate God. But the Bible speaks about in Romans 1, these people hating God. You say, Brother Stuckey, that doesn't make sense to me because I know homosexuals that don't hate God. No. They do hate the God of the Bible. They might say they believe in God. They might go to church. They hate the God of the Bible, though. And so I want you to understand, when we're saying haters of God, we're talking about the true God, the true living God, His rules, His commandments, and they hate the God of the Bible. Okay? They might not hate some other false god of, you know, I don't know, whatever church down the road, you know, some Baptist church or CCF or Victory or some Protestant church or some Catholic church, but they hate the God of the Bible. They hate it. If you preach a sermon like this, do you think they're going to like this sermon? I don't think so. Why? Because they hate the God of the Bible.
Right.
Now, I want you to understand, it says backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud. When you see proud, doesn't that make you think of gay pride rallies?
Right.
I mean, it says proud, and guess what? The sodomites out there, they're so prideful. They shove it in our faces. We don't want to see it, and yet it's everywhere.
Yep.
What? They're filled with pride.
Yep. Right.
It's disgusting, and it's everywhere, and they shove it in our faces, and we're expected to take it. Look, the Bible speaks about it. It says proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Going back to verse 30 when it said inventors of evil things, I think of the Catholic Church during the Spanish Inquisition. And they invented all these disgusting torture techniques. Inventors of evil things. Evil, generally in the Bible, is referring to basically doing harm to someone, usually in reference to physical harm. And during the Spanish Inquisition, all these Catholic priests, I mean, they were taking pleasure in torturing people with these new techniques they invented. That goes along with verse 30 very well. And then it says in verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Natural affection is just the normal desires that things people have, the natural affections. They don't have natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful. In this entire list, unmerciful is the one that's really the most chilling, because I can't help but think of an innocent child that's crying out for mercy, but they are not merciful.
Right.
That, to me, is the most chilling one, and you think of a child that is being defiled. And in the Catholic Church, it happens all the time.
Right.
We know that throughout the Catholic Church, you know, this happens all the time. Children are molested, and throughout our country, it happens all the time. Now, honestly, that should teach you as parents, take close watch of your kids.
Right.
Don't just let your kids run around everywhere and just say, well, you know, I don't think anything's going to happen to them. It's like take care and close watch of your children, okay?
Right.
And so it says this in verse 31, then it says in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And in verse 32, it's still in reference to the Sodomites, not only do they know that they're worthy of death, and not only are they doing these wicked things, but they're taking pleasure in other people doing these things. See, the goal of homosexuals is to turn this entire world to be wicked. That's their goal. They want other people to do these disgusting things as well. Turn to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. When I was in America, I was a teacher in high school. We had this program in our community. I was a math teacher. And I remember seeing this woman in the crowd. And this woman had a rainbow shirt on. And there was one word, recruiter. What she was saying is, we're trying to make people into homosexuals. Now, we're trying to make people into children of God. Amen. We're trying to get people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to realize these people, they have the opposite goal that we have. We're trying to get people to believe on Jesus. They're trying to get people to be children of the devil. That's the reality. That's what she meant by recruiter with a picture of a rainbow. I was so angry. I mean, just seeing that, it's like you're trying to turn people into reprobates just like you're disgusting, wicked, and filthy people. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. The Bible speaks about your conscience being seared with a hot iron. And remember, the mark of a reprobate or psychopath is someone without a conscience. And the Bible says there's people, it's seared with a hot iron. And they have no conscience anymore. Turn to Titus 1. Titus 1. And look, there's many reasons for this sermon series, and quite honestly, this is a very educational sermon series. It's going to give us a much deeper topic on this, much deeper understanding of this topic, but it's also going to help you understand why we run the church the way we do. Brother Stucky, why don't you have all these children's ministries? You could double your church overnight. Yeah, we could, but you know what? This is the reason why. And you're going to see that during this sermon series. You're going to understand why we operate our church in a certain sort of way. Titus 1, verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now, in verse 15 it says, unto the pure all things are pure. See, the person who's saved, they just think of things in a pure fashion. They don't have this disgusting nature about them. An example would be like for a young child, if my son, you know, and obviously at church, my son is wearing clothes and everything, but when we give our son a shower at home, people that are going to be new parents one day, look, your child doesn't understand the concept of nakedness. When your child's 1 year old, and they just run out of that shower naked, you're like, hey, we got to put on your diaper, we got to put on your clothes. And look, as a normal person, you don't think anything disgusting. But I want you to realize, the people we're talking about, they would think disgusting things, you know, about a one-year-old who's just running around in the shower. Right. We don't think like that, but unto the pure all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. That's the sort of stuff they think of. You say, that's not normal. Yeah, it's not normal. And look, I want you to understand, in this sermon series, you're not going to be able to fully grasp this because you don't have the mind of a reprobate. None of us can fully grasp this. We can only believe what the Bible says. Because if you're a normal person, you're going to be like, why in the world would they think like that? And look, isn't it true that science and the medical industry, they're spending like millions and millions of dollars trying to figure out what drug can we give these people that can make them normal? What program, like seven steps of this, you know, to make them a normal person? They don't get it. If they would believe the Bible, it's like you're wasting your money because they're never going to be a normal person. They're children of the devil. And it says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. Now look, you cannot tell if somebody's saved based on their works, okay? Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But I will say that there's certain works that a child of the devil would do where you could know them by their fruits, the Bible says, whether it's Matthew 7 or here. And so when someone is a pedophile, you know they're a child of the devil.
Right.
Why? That's not a natural or normal thing a person would do.
Yep.
Okay? This is throughout the Bible. And during the sermon series, we're going to go in depth and we're going to prove this left, right, and down the center. Turn to Acts 13. Acts 13. Acts 13. Now, an example of what we're talking about is if my son ran out into the street with heavy traffic and it looked like he was going to be hit by a jeepney or whatever, our natural reaction would be one of horror. We'd be really scared for the child, wouldn't we?
Right.
We'd be very fearful. I want you to understand, a psychopath doesn't have remorse. they wouldn't feel bad about it taking place. What you will see, though, and if you study in depth on this topic of psychopaths, even from a worldly standpoint, what they do is they learn to mimic the reactions that people expect. They will act like they're scared for that child, but they're not actually scared. They've just learned how to act like they're scared. You know, everyone's going to be like, and they'll do the same thing. For us, it's natural. For them, they're acting. They're pretending. They've learned to know when. And you know, what you can tell with these people is that sometimes they misinterpret the emotion they're supposed to have. And so all of a sudden they'll have some bizarre emotion like, you know, why would you find that funny? They'll laugh at some disgusting joke. It's like, that's not a funny joke about a child being molested. Yeah. So why is it? Because they try to mimic emotions, but they don't fully grasp it because their mind's defiled. And sometimes they just mess up and they kind of give off who they actually are. Okay? Acts 13, verse 8, I want to quickly go through some terms on a reprobate or psychopath because there's many different terms. Verse 8 of Acts 13, but Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Here's a person who is trying to prevent people from believing on Jesus and getting saved. Now, isn't it true that when we go to KSL Memorial Circle, the people that are the false prophets of the other religions, sometimes they will intentionally try to stop you from giving the gospel.
Right.
You say, why? Probably because they're a child of the devil. Probably because they're a bad person. I mean, in KSL Memorial Circle, we know who they are. It's like, there's that guy who's always trying to interrupt our conversation. There's that guy. And it's like, we show them what the Bible says, ever learning and never able to come under the knowledge of the truth. This guy called me over a few weeks ago, and I had just gotten done preaching the gospel to someone who was older and a kid. And he's like, oh, I'm really happy with what you're doing. And I asked him, you know, what church he was from, and it wasn't Baptist, I can't remember what it was, some sort of non-denominational type church. But, you know, the guy told me, he's like, well, how many of them got saved? And I was like, you know, one? He's like, only one. He's like, the kid didn't get saved? I was like, well, he's probably too young to understand. He's like 5 years old. You know, I don't think he got saved. And the guy told me, he's like, you know, and he told me he hates eternal security. That's what he told me. He hates the concept of once saved, always saved. And then he just wants to argue with me. And I just kind of stepped away. I think I talked to you right afterwards, right, Brother Ehrman? I just talked to that guy, and then I just kind of got up. And then I just went to someone else. If I remember correctly, that's a conversation where I felt bad. I always tried to talk to younger people. And I was like, you know, why do I always avoid people that are old? Maybe he'll believe. And then he's just like, you know, some bad person or whatever. I was like, okay, that's why you always talk to teens, because they're more likely to believe the gospel. But that's what you see here in Acts 13:8. There are people of false religions, and they try to turn people away from believing on Jesus Christ. Verse 9, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil. Here's a person who is a child of the devil. One of the terms, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? One of the major terms you see in the Bible is a child of the devil. Children of the devil. And so when you see that pop up in the Bible, it's not just a way to really like preach hard against someone. It's saying they are a child of the devil. That's what it's saying. Forever they're going to be a child of the devil, because when you become a child of God, you're a child of God forever. When you become a child of the devil, you're a child of the devil forever. Turn to 1 Kings 21. 1 Kings 21. One of the bizarre teachings from the Calvinists is they'll say everybody's a child of the devil before they're saved. And so they say, well, you're a child of the devil and you can become a child of God. No, that's not what the Bible teaches.
Right.
When you're born into this world, and the Catholics say everybody's a child of God when they're born. The Catholics say everyone's a child of the devil when they're born. It's like you're both wrong. Okay? Neither one of you is even close to being right. No, when you're born into this world, you're just a child. And once you reach the age of accountability, you must believe on Jesus. You must be born again, which is saying you must receive spiritual life. But if somebody were to go down the other road and become a child of the devil, they're a child of the devil forever. Okay? 1 Kings 21, verse 9. 1 Kings 21, verse 9. 1 Kings 21, verse 9, it says, and she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim the fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial. Sons of Belial, or children of Belial, or children of Baal, or son of Baal. These are terms that are given to someone who is a psychopath or a reprobate. Child of the devil, child of Belial, child of Baal. These are terms given in the Bible. For sake of time, go down to verse 13. Verse 13. And there came in two men, children of Belial. And what they're trying to do is find someone who will lie, so this person can be put to death, and they realize all we got to do is find a child of the devil. We find a child of Belial, and all they really want is money. They're willing to put someone to death. Why would they do that? They have no conscience. They don't care. And they're a child of Belial. Turn to Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30. We'll look at one more term, and then we're going to go to kind of the most important verse of this entire sermon series, and I'll spend a lot of time talking about that. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30. Reprobate silver shall men call them. Jeremiah 6, verse 30. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. So what I mentioned is that people reject God and eventually can come to a point where the Lord rejects them, and it's reprobate. Okay, that's the term. Psychopath or reprobate, where they basically have no hope. They become a child of the devil, they're reprobate, and they're always going to be rejected by God. So the Bible speaks about a small segment of people that can reach a point where they're fully rejected by God, and they're never going to believe on Jesus Christ. It says they could not believe. They cannot believe. But I want you to turn to Jude chapter 1. Or just turn to the book of Jude. Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Jude chapter 1, verse 11. Jude 1, verse 11. Jude 1, verse 11. Jude 1, verse 11. Second to last book in the Bible, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude. Jude chapter 1, verse 11, right before Revelation. Jude chapter 1, verse 11, this is a very important verse. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kori, or Korah, okay, from the Old Testament. This is the most important verse in this entire sermon series. Okay, what I want you to understand here in verse 11 is the Bible is referring to three types of psychopaths, three types of reprobates, okay? Tatlon klase nang reprobate or psychopath, all right? Three types of reprobates here. It mentions Cain, it mentions Balaam, and it mentions Kori or Korah from the Old Testament, okay? Now, we're going to have one sermon on each of these people. We're going to learn exactly what it means by the way of Cain, or running greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, or perishing in the gainsaying of Kori. So I don't want to just give away the entire sermon series, but I do want to give you just a general overview of what this verse is saying. Now, we're going to learn very clearly what the way of Cain is next week, and if you cross-reference 1 John, Jude, and Genesis, you're going to see this. But Cain represents a violent psychopath. A violent psychopath. This is only one type of psychopath the Bible is referring to. Now, don't misunderstand me, because all three of these types of psychopaths, their minds are defiled. But what I'm saying is that people will generally go down certain roads in life. Let me give you an example of what I'm saying. When I was a kid, there was two major sports I played. I played baseball and I played soccer. Now, when I played soccer, I was very thin, okay? And then my coach in baseball, and I was 10 years old, my coach said, I want you to gain 20 pounds. I was 10 years old. Okay? Why is that? Because baseball players, you can't be too thin. I'd always hit the ball, but I was pretty small, so it just didn't go very far. I needed to gain some weight. And so I was going to have to decide, if I'm going to become a good soccer player, I'm going to have to forsake baseball. I can't just soccer and then try to gain weight and then lose weight, gain weight. I had to pick a road I was going to go down. I picked the road of becoming a soccer player and trying to become as good as I possibly could. Why? These two different roads are kind of contrary to one another. See, Cain represents the violent psychopath, but what does Balaam represent? Well, notice how I said the heir of Balaam for reward. It's referring to a financial reward. We're referring to a covetous psychopath. If your whole goal in life is to make as much money as possible, if you're murdering people on the side, it's going to hinder you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you're raping people on the side, it's going to prevent you from going all out to make money. You kind of have to make your choice. And with psychopaths, it's not that they're not filled with wickedness, because they are, but usually they're going to go down certain roads. And Balaam's whole life was about money, money, money. The heir of Balaam for reward. He said, I'll curse the people of God if you give me money. Why? I mean, that's what it says, for reward. That's what it's referring to. All he cared about was money. Now Cain, and I'll prove this next week, because if you closely look at Cain in 1 John, you see that he's for sure a reprobate, and you see when he becomes a reprobate, and he represents the violent psychopath. These are not the same thing. Now, I'm not saying there can never be a crossover, but what I'm saying is generally someone who becomes a reprobate, they're going to pick a certain path, and the Bible breaks it down to the violent, to the covetous, and then it says, with Corey, the gainsaying of Corey. Corey was basically trying to take the leadership from Moses. He's basically the controlling psychopath. He basically tears everyone down because he wants the power. These are the three types of reprobates that you're going to see. The violent, the covetous, and the controlling. Okay? Now, I want you to understand that in the U.S., kind of close to Verity, actually 20 minutes away, there was a famous serial killer that got caught a couple years ago, the Golden State Killer, and they had tried to catch him for decades. And it was a really bizarre case because this guy... And whenever you have like a serial killer, you can't necessarily be for sure that he killed every single one of these people. They assume based on things that happened, he had killed all these people, like 30 people or something like that. But before that, he was raping women. And before that, he was robbing houses. He just got worse and worse and worse. And then one day, 30 years ago, it just all stopped. You say, why in the world would a serial killer stop? Because serial killers, sometimes they do stop. And you say, why would they stop? Is it because they got saved? They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it's because they no longer found any enjoyment in killing people. They had done it so long and they just said, you know what, I don't have any enjoyment in this anymore. So what is someone like that going to do? They're probably going to say, well, let me try the path of being a covetous psychopath and just try to become rich and steal money from people. Or let me become a controlling psychopath and just get really powerful. Generally, people are going to go down one of these roads. I'm not saying there can never be a crossover because the general Catholic priest in this country is both a sodomite and has a lot of money.
Right.
So they're both covetous and violent. Right? They've got both of them. I'm not saying there can never be a crossover. And if you reach certain points of people becoming powerful, they can get away with doing whatever they want if they've got the money. Okay, I understand that. But generally, the average psychopath out there, they're going to go down one of these three roads. And it's important we understand the distinction of them. Now, let me say this, though. If you look at these three characters in the Bible, is there any indication that Cain was a homosexual? No. Is there any indication Balaam was a homosexual? No. Is there any indication Korah was a homosexual? No. You need to put aside your preconceived idea, if you have it, that reprobate and homosexual are the exact same thing, because the Bible doesn't teach that. Okay? In our day we live in today, the LGBT is out of control. And in our day, it's a huge thing. But throughout the Bible, is it really that big of a thing in most societies and most time periods? No. You look at David when he had the 600 men and 200 were too faint to go to battle, and they came back after winning the battle, and then the children of Belial said, don't give anything to these 200. Just give them their wives and their kids, and that's it. And the Bible says they're children of Belial. There's no indication they're homosexuals, though. See, children of Belial have always existed. Children of the devil have always existed.
Right.
But only in today's world are you really seeing this really large percentage that are homosexuals. But don't misunderstand, there are still reprobates out there that are not homosexuals.
Right.
And they're going down being a covetous psychopath, controlling psychopath, or violent psychopath. They say, Brother Stucky, about homosexuals, which one of these do they mainly fit in? They mainly fit under the violent psychopaths. Why? Because they're pedophiles.
Right.
They're molesters. Amen. That's what you see with the Catholic Church. They mainly are going to fit under the violent psychopath. Okay? They're not usually going to fit under the covetous psychopath. They're not usually going to fit under the controlling psychopath. Now, they're still just as wicked, their minds are defiled, but they're usually going to go down the road of just being pedophiles. That's what you see in society. They usually fit under that category of the violent psychopath. Whether it's murder, whether it's pedophilia, whether it's rape, these things, they usually go down that road. You say, why is it important that we understand a distinction? Well, one, because God gives us a distinction between these things. There's a reason why he gives us a distinction. And two, because it's going to help you get a better understanding just in general about things. Let me give you an example. Of these three ones for our church, Verity Baptist Church Manila, which of these is the most dangerous for our church? It's not Cain. You say, why? Because the violent psychopaths wouldn't like a church like this. You say, why? There's no access to children. They're going to go to the Catholic Church where they have access to children. The way we run our church, we're not going to attract violent psychopaths here. because they don't have any access to harm kids. Because the parents stay with their kids, we don't send them off to some dark room where it's like, well, we just trust that everything's, you know, fine here. We don't do that. And so the violent psychopaths, they won't be attracted to a place like this. I'm not saying it's impossible for them to come in, but the reality is they're not going to be attracted to a place like this. They're going to go to the Catholic church down the road. Why? They have more access to kids. The covetous psychopaths, that is something that could come up from time to time, because people, you know, there's people out there looking for money. But quite honestly, we're really not going to attract them so much because we don't really give out a lot of free money. But I'll tell you what, in the Bible, of these three people, who's the one that represents someone that causes a big problem in church? Korah. Right? Because Korah is the one who takes power from Moses, takes power from the congregation. And so I want you to understand that when it comes to a church, the one that's the most dangerous for us is the Korahs of the world. Why? They're the ones that are church splitters. That's Korah. That's what he did in the book of Exodus. Like, he was a church splitter. That's what he did in the book of Numbers. He was a church splitter. So I want you to understand that if someone, and you say, why is this important? Because let's say somebody left this church, like let's say they got kicked out and I said they were a bad person or whatever. And if you said, well, you know, I don't think they're a bad person because they weren't effeminate. Look, reprobates don't have to be homosexuals.
Right.
Just because they're not effeminate, just because they're not a homosexual, that doesn't mean they're not a reprobate. Okay? And if somebody gets kicked out of here, most likely, if they were causing big problems, most likely they weren't a homosexual because they were probably going down the road of being a controlling psychopath like Korah. Okay? That's what Korah was in the book of Numbers. That's just an overview on this, but I want you to understand in Jude 1, verse 11, I recommend you pay attention to this verse, read this verse, because you're seeing it mentions three different things. The way of Cain ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. With Balaam, it's the easiest to see because the error of Balaam for reward. Now, I want you to understand something else, though, as we understand this. You say, which one of these is the religious psychopath? None of them. None of them is a religious psychopath. You say, what are you talking about? All of them are religious.
Right.
Cain represents work salvation. Balaam is cursing God's people. Korah is in the congregation of the Lord causing problems. Here's what you need to understand. It's not that there's something called a religious psychopath, and we'll preach a sermon and I'll go really in detail. Here's what you see. Psychopaths use religion
right.
for their benefits. That's a distinction. They use religion to make money. They use religion to get access to kids. They use religion to take power. But there's a famous cult leader who was the Scientologist author. I can't remember what his Ron L. Hubbard or L. Ron Hubbard or whatever. I'll have to ask Brother Dustin after the service. He knows all the names. But this guy, he said before he started that religion, he said, you know the way you can really make money? He's like, not be a science fiction author. He's like, start a religion and you'll make money. Guess what he did? He started a religion. And he became very, very rich. You say, why? Because psychopaths can use religion because people are far too trusting in churches. Far too trusting. And it's not really that there's a religious psychopath. And don't misunderstand me. We're going to explain Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23 really in detail if you're here for all the sermons. So I'll talk about the people that are psychopaths that are religious. And we'll understand the distinction. And I understand people can be deceived. And they think they're good people, whatever. But they're really children of Belial. But the main thing the Bible is really teaching, it's not that there's a religious psychopath. It's just psychopaths will use religion. Because all of these kind of fit under religious. Why? Because God wants us to know this is something churches need to be aware about. You have Cain, you have Balaam, and you have Korah. These are three different types of reprobates. Say, why are you preaching a sermon series like this, Brother Stuckey? You know, this is our anniversary. We've got a big attendance. Well, keep in mind, the most vicious sermon series I ever preached gave us our best attendances on the dark history of the Roman Catholic Church. So it's like, okay, well, I guess I'll try this again. You know, we'll preach a sermon series on psychopaths. But quite honestly, this is throughout the Bible. And the main reason why I'm preaching it, though, is because even amongst members, I think there's a lot of confusion from people on this doctrine of reprobates or psychopaths. We're going to go in great detail. It's very important for you to understand the distinctions between these people, because how a church relates to these people, or how you relate, or how we understand the Cains and Balaams and Korahs, and how they act, and what we need to be aware of, you know, we need to have an understanding that the Bible's breaking it down into three different types. But I want you to understand, at a church, you're completely safe at church, especially because we will never attract violent psychopaths here, because we just don't operate our church in that manner. And you, at me as a parent, I'm thankful that we're not going to attract a bunch of predators and weirdos in here. If you have young children, you ought to be thankful.
Right.
But I would say this, that the majority of Baptist churches, they're going to attract a lot of violent psychopaths based on the way they're running their churches. And you're going to have a better understanding, why do we operate things? Why don't we have junior church here? Why don't we have Sunday school? Well, you're going to understand during this sermon series. It's a very important sermon series. I encourage you to be here for all the sermons. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and just getting to see this very important topic. What do you have to say about psychopaths or reprobates, God? Help us if this is a brand new topic to some people in this room. I always encourage people to read the Bible for themselves and see what the Bible says. They're welcome to ask me the verses. I can show them what the Bible says. And there are people that are past the point of salvation. They will never believe on you. We know that anyone who believes gets saved, but there are people that will never believe. But help us also, our members here who maybe even have studied this topic out before, God, help us to all have a deeper understanding of this. I know I learned a lot preparing the sermon series. And help us understand that there are different types of reprobates that you list. You put them in different classes, God. Help us to understand all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.